Bear Country, friends, as any observer can plainly see, is a really and truly fine place to be, especially for cubs and other small fry. Baby robins learning to fly, young frogs and bunnies learning to hop, all kinds of young'uns, and every spring season, another new crop. Except that one Easter time, when the cycle of seasons came to a screeching, grinding, sudden stop. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are kicking off a two-part episode, or two episodes that form a part, or two episodes that are two sides of the same coin. It's Easter season, my friends. Easter, Easter, Easter. Now, I've been doing this show for almost 4 years, or four years at this point. I've been doing this show for a while, and I don't think I've ever really touched on Easter. And that's not a coincidence, because neither had the Berenstains until about this point in our history. But of course, they had touched on Easter, but I hadn't touched on the Easter they'd touched on, because I was waiting for them to, well, touch on Easter in another way, so that I could tie the two Easter touchings together and then touch on both Easter touch-ons at the same time. And the reason I talk like that and am sort of circling around myself is because in 1981, the Berenstains released a television special, their third television special, after the Berenstain Bears Christmas Tree and the Berenstain Bears Meet Big Paw, called the Berenstain Bears Easter Surprise. It starred the same cast as our last two specials. It was all about Easter, as you could probably guess from the title, The Easter Surprise. But it was more than that. It was more than just an Easter special. It was also a retelling of one of their more popular and more recent books, The Berenstain Bears New Baby, which is interesting. Now, this special came out in 1981, and if you don't remember it, that might be because it just wasn't one of the more popular Berenstain Bears specials. The first two, of course, were classics. The Christmas Tree and Meet Big Paw are specials that even people who aren't big fans of the Berenstain Bears remember. But the Berenstain Bears Easter Surprise has kind of fallen by the wayside in recent years. It didn't even get a book adaptation like The Christmas Tree did, and Big Paw did in many times over. In fact, the Big Paw story was repeated in formats that actually eliminated the Thanksgiving aspect of the story. In the Berenstain Bears Scouts Meet Big Paw, we had a basic retelling of the tale. There was just no Thanksgiving involved. So the Christmas Tree and the Big Paw story sort of got folded into bear history, but Easter Surprise sort of always stayed in the background, even though, in my opinion, it has some of the best animation of any of the specials. However, in 1998, the Berenstains put out a physical book adaptation of the Berenstain Bears Easter Surprise. It's remarkably faithful. It attempts to sort of recreate the freewheeling atmosphere of the special. But of course, it has to change a few things just to make the story fit within the Berenstain universe as established by 1998. It still includes a few things that are weird, and it flatly contradicts established canon, but it's an interesting read anyway. So today I'm going to be talking about both versions of the story, the Berenstain Bears Easter Surprise. Like I said, the differences are negligible, and of course it's not even fair to include differences in art or appearance, because that's just the nature of book adaptations, but let me give you a rundown of what this story is about. We'll take a look at the tale. We'll take a look at how it ties into established canon. And we'll take a look at how they had to change it for the book. Now, both the special and the book start off by watching brother and sister playing around in bear country and interacting with the birds and the animals and the outdoors in general. And specifically, you see a frog and a bunny hopping past each other. And the bunny is just a plain bunny, and the frog seems to be just a plain frog. But then the narrator makes reference to this one weird winter that never ended, that didn't become spring for some reason. And then we get into a weird fade-out where sister disappears from the picture, and we find out that this story actually took place before Sister was born. When the treehouse was smaller than it is today because it hadn't fully grown into itself, it looked a little bit different. Brother Bear, they don't ever call him Small Bear, but this is back when he was still Small Bear. And he gets sent to find Papa to bring him his lunch because Papa forgot his lunch, again, as he always does. And what we're looking at now, particularly in the special, is a weird synthesis of the Berenstain Bears' first-time books, specifically The New Baby, but just that era, as well as the old Berenstain Bears books, the Big Honey Hunt, The Picnic, those books, the more gag-oriented books. And, of course, the specials have always kind of gone in that direction. They really play up Papa's goofiness. But it starts seeming like a weird fit. Well, in any case, so Brother goes looking for Papa, and he's bringing his lunch, and he's just kind of looking around, messing around out in nature. There's just so many great things in Bear Country. And he has two friends who live out in the woods. One is Bill Bunny, and one is Finnerty Frog. There's also Fred Firefly, but he hasn't really come into play. I want to point out Bill Bunny and Finnerty Frog, though, because Bill Bunny is wearing a pair of overalls. And so is Finnerty Frog. You sort of get this sense they're supposed to be Huckleberry Finn types. They're the kids who kind of live out in the country and are friends with Brother Bear, even though he can't really relate to him. We get that a little bit. Finnerty Frog just wants to sun himself on the log, and Fred Firefly just wants to turn his light on and off, and Bill Bunny just wants to hop all around, and they don't really play with Brother. It's weird. We don't really know why they're friends, but what I really want to point out is that in the beginning of the book, we saw a frog and a rabbit who looked just like these two, except they were unclothed and they weren't carrying themselves upright. They were just animals. And I want to come back to that because that's interesting. And I don't remember if that's in the TV show. I don't think it is. I think it's only in the book. Brother finds Papa Bear and he's like, I have a lot of questions for you, Papa. And Papa's like, well, I've got a lot of answers for you. I'm Papa Bear. And Brother's like, well, you're up in a tree and you're standing on a branch and you're sawing that branch off. Now, here's where one of the weird differences comes in the book. So in the cartoon, it's this lively discussion and Papa Q Bear is kind of a strange jerk and he's goofily sawing this branch off. And of course he falls like, wah, and he lands. But this is the new Papa Bear. This is Papa Bear from the 90s. This is late 90s Papa Bear. This isn't like dim-witted Papa Bear anymore. This isn't braggadocious Papa Bear. This isn't like leap before you look Papa Bear. This is just a relatively competent businessman. So the fact that the words in this book are almost word for word what they were in the special. There's a few changes, but nothing outrageous. But Papa still saws himself off the branch, but they don't show like the landing or anything. It's not slapsticky. It just kind of happens. Like you expect him almost to be hurt at the end of it because it's so like kind of grounded. Well, Papa promises Brother that he can answer any question that Brother may have. And this is in the cartoon where they launches into a song. It's a whole song where Brother's asking Papa questions and Papa insists that he knows all the answers, but he never actually answers anything. He keeps forgetting his own name, which is Papa Q Bear. And that also happens in the book. He's like, sure as my name is Barbecue Parpa Q Bop Garbapew Papa Q Bear, after Brother whispers it in his ear. And that, again, also doesn't fit with modern Papa Bear. Like, modern Papa Bear knows what his name is. Like, that's just, we understand that. He knows his name. So Brother starts worrying about the seasons. He's like, it's cold. We're not getting any spring. It's just a long winter. There doesn't seem to be any, like, winter coming in the forecast. And finally, Mama's just like, I just don't think we're going to get spring. And Papa's like, what about Easter? If we don't have spring, how can we have Easter? Which is fine, because, like, that's calendar-based. Like, that's a calendar thing. But this is where things get... So Brother Bear's like, what's Easter? And I'm like, what's Easter? Like, he's not 1 year old. He's, like, five at least. And they've just never done... It's just never been a thing. Even though now it's the most important thing in Papa Bear's world. He's like, what's Easter? Why, it's... And he starts listing off all the things. And now here we get the big question of what is Easter all about? Now, if you remember from when I did my Christmas shows, I went a lot into the history of these traditions, the history of the trappings of Christmas. I did secular stuff. I did the more religious stuff. This book is completely secular. This book is not about the religious aspect of Easter at all. It's about rabbits. It's about chocolate eggs. And what's difficult, though, is you can't really go into the rabbits and the chocolate eggs without going into the religious stuff. The historian, Bede, was the first historian to ever address the term Easter. So Easter is a weird way of referring to Easter. Most languages and most cultures refer to it in some variation on Pascha, which is a variation on Pesach, which is Passover, because Easter was kind of Christianity's like co-opting of it is Christianity's co-opting of Passover, and not really co-opting. I don't want to get too much into the religious aspect, because that's the next book I'm going to do next week. But like, so if you don't know the story, like Jesus died, and then he died. It was pretty rough. Like, it was a pretty rough death, and he came back like 3 days later, and that's like the big thing. Like for Christians, is like the whole like he died, but then he came back. And then he left again. But he came back. And that's the resurrection thing. And that's what Easter is really commemorating. It's commemorating the resurrection. And Easter doesn't exist in a vacuum either. Like, there is an Easter season. Like, if you're not familiar with, like, Good Friday and Fat Tuesday and Monday, Thursday and Wacky Wednesday. And there's, like, a whole, like, line of days that, like, starting, like, before Lent. And then there's Lent. And then there's Holy Week. And then there's Easter, and it's a season. It's like a big long thing that a lot of Christians they're pretty big on it. And it actually, if you remember from the last episodes, like the Christmas episodes, like Christmas was kind of the same way in a lot of places. Like it goes on for a month. There's all these different holy days, all these different saints days, and in the story of Jesus, the night that Jesus was arrested, he was eating supper with his disciples, and they were in his house, and they were having their last supper. Like the last supper that Jesus ever had was the Passover Seder. And so the Passover Seder had a special significance for followers of Jesus. And bear in mind that early Christians, like the first Christians, didn't consider themselves Christians. They considered themselves Jewish. Like they were Jewish. These were Jewish people. They were celebrating the Passover. They were at the Seder. Jesus was like breaking like the matzah with them, the unleavened bread, and they had the wine and the lamb shank, like, and he was like, the lamb, I am, that's the whole thing where he's like, I'm this lamb, and like this bread that we're breaking, this is my body and this wine is my blood. Like he was like, that was all Passover stuff. And so when it came time to celebrate his resurrection from death, the churches were like, we're going to keep it around Passover. We're gonna mark that based on the calendar, based on Passover, because we know that he celebrated Passover, a certain amount of time went by, and then there was a resurrection. So we'll just base it on the Jewish calendar, for Passover. And a lot of the early Christians celebrated. So I mean, they still celebrated, but there was a lot of controversy in the early church. Like, do we still celebrate Passover? Do we still do all this? Like that was a big deal, and now is it supposed to be? Like Jesus was like, some people believe that he was like, don't do any of this old stuff anymore, because I'm the new, I am the new testament, and I am the new, like, I am the new deal that you made with God, so you don't have to worry about the old stuff anymore. But a lot of early Christians were like, but we're still Jewish, so, like, we've still got to do all this stuff. And so the early Easter still played on that Passover thing. Eventually, there was, like, a split with the calendars, the Gregorian calendar and the other calendar, and then, like, some people were like, well, we don't want to base our stuff on the moon anymore, so we're going to base our stuff on the sun, and yada, 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 yada. The long and short of it is like 2,000 years later, we still don't know when Easter is. Like, you see it on your calendar, and you're like, oh, how'd they come by this? If you look at the formulas they use for coming up with Easter, there's a reason that Easter gets celebrated at different times in different parts of the world. It's because no one can agree really how to calculate when Easter is. We just know it's supposed to be on a Sunday. Even at the Nicene Council, like, they were just like, all we got to say is Easter, it needs to be celebrated on a Sunday. Can't be based on the Jewish calendar. That's all we're saying. And they were like, oh, well, that's not a whole lot to go off of. In any case, the whole thing is that eggs and rabbits, that's all Christian symbolism. And now some people will raise their hand, like the Bede guy, the historian, the Bede, and Bede, And he was like, wait a minute. No, there was actually this goddess we've discovered named Ostara. And she had a hare who was like her consort. And then historians for years and years were like, there was no Ostara. That was made up by the bead guy, the beady, beady bead. And then, but only relatively recently, I think it was like the 1950s, they found evidence of this like Ostara like goddess. And they were like, holy Spumoni, like I can't believe that this thing actually, he was right, he wasn't lying, he wasn't making it up. Wow, that's great. We still don't know about the hair thing. We don't know if that's, but we think that the Easter thing maybe still may be related to the Ostara thing, because of how the words came down throughout, like just in the way English, like, in all the Germanic, and it's weird that like this one very narrow like thread of languages had the whole Easter thing, and everyone else is like, nah, it's just like pseudo Passover. But so you'll look and you'll see histories of like the eggs, painting eggs to represent like the resurrection of Jesus goes way back. That's an old church thing. You used to just paint them red for like, it meant the blood. So but all cultures use eggs. Like eggs is like, if you want a symbol for like resurrection, like that's, you use an egg. Like the pagans used eggs for resurrection because like what else? Like it's a thing, it's a rock, and then all of a sudden there's a thing inside it and it's alive and good gravy, man. That's an amazing thing. And so like eggs are kind of cool in that way. You know, something's hidden inside and then boom, there's life in your hand. A little baby bird or snake or turtle or whatever. So eggs. And so some people will say like, ah, they just stole the eggs from the Passover, or they just stole the eggs from the pagans. But like kind of everyone did eggs. Like that's a thing. And the whole thing with like the rabbit, like, okay. So some people believe that hares were hermaphroditic. And so the Easter bunny goes way back. It actually goes back further than you think, but it didn't really become popular until the Germans in the 1800s and Easter rabbits. So this book is completely about the eggs and the Easter rabbit. So Papa's like, Easter? Well, Easter's all about eggs and rabbits. And the old man, the old hare, the buddy boy himself, the Easter bunny. And Mama's like, no, wait. There is something else that Easter's all about. And this is where I thought, oh, the Jesus stuff is going to come in. She's like, Easter is about everything growing again and a great miracle. And that's when I was like, oh, here comes the Jesus stuff. But she's like, no, it's just the miracle of birth. And he's like, really? What does that mean? What do you mean? She's like, oh, got an Easter surprise for you. He's like, Easter surprise? She's like, can't tell you about it just yet. And then he falls off her lap because her lap's getting smaller. What? Well, Papa gets all excited, and he wants to distract brother from Mama's growing lap. In the cartoon, Mama also sang a song. I don't even remember the song. It was weird. Same guy who did the songs for the other specials, by the way. They're pretty good, but a little forgettable. So Papa leads brother out. They're like, look, we're going to go talk to Boss Bunny. Boss Bunny is like the main rabbit in town, and he's going to tell us what's going on with the spring. But Boss Bunny has put out a sign that he has quit. And, okay, here's the thing that was edited from the book, but it's in the special. The townsfolk are all gathered around, and they're whispering about Boss Bunny, like why he may have quit. They pretty much come to the conclusion that he's a drunk, that he's an alcoholic. That's the thing in the cartoon. They're like, he's been drinking fermented carrot juice. He can't leave his house anymore. They cut that from the book and just say, like, they're just like, well, I don't know where he is. So Papa's worried. And brother's sad because he's not going to get this whatever this Easter is that for some reason nobody's ever told him about. But I love the brother bear. Do you know why? Because the one thing he's sad he's not going to get? Marshmallow chicks. Thank you to all my peep lovers out there. I'm not eating as many sweets these days, but I will get a peep before Easter is out. So brother's sad and Mama's trying to comfort him. And then Papa's like, hold it, hold the phone. I know what I can do. I'll be the Easter bunny. And we get this real Jack Skellington moment where like Papa dresses up like the Easter rabbit. He puts carrots on his head like ears. He starts hopping around. And then, okay, here's where you're just like, okay, wait a minute. This is the TV show. Like this works in the TV show, but not in the car, in the books, because Papa Bear builds a giant Easter machine. This giant Easter machine, he connects it up to the hen house. He mixes all the dyes. He has this conveyor belt, these giant contraptions, rigs it up to a Model T, sets the machine going. But of course, it goes haywire, and this is a big song in the show. It's pretty. This is a wonderfully animated sequence. It starts going nuts. It accidentally paints Papa's face instead of the eggs. It splashes him with marshmallow fluff. It starts falling apart. He can't do it. He cannot be the Easter Bunny. So brother goes and finds his friend, Bunny Bill. Little Bill Bunny. And Bill Bunny's like, you know, you can talk to, he's like, what's, you know, you can talk to about all this? My dad. And brother's like, who's your dad? He's like, well, the Boss Bunny. My dad's the Boss Bunny. And brother's like, wait a minute, your dad's the Boss Bunny? Well, take us to see him. So they go way underground. And in both the TV show and in the book, there's this great layout of the factory. So you go into the Easter Bunny's factory. Okay. So Easter in recent years, and I want to say like in the last like 10 years, really. Like Easter was a really commercial holiday when I was a kid. And then it kind of died off in the 90s. Like it's always been like somewhat commercial. You got to sell candy, you got to sell cards, baskets, stuff like that. But that was kind of it. Like it was Easter. But in the last like 10 years, they've really started building up this whole like Easter's pretty much just Christmas too. It's Christmas too. And it makes sense, you know, like birth and resurrection. Like it makes sense from a religious perspective. It's the two ends of the guy's life, you know, like whatever. But they're not selling it that way, of course. They're like Christmas too. So buy gifts, like the Easter basket is just like, it's kind of just like a small fireplace. Like you put your Christmas gifts by the fireplace. Great. Put smaller gifts in the basket. And you know what? Just stack them all around the basket too. In fact, just put the gifts everywhere. In fact, just buy a lot of gifts for your kids. You've got extra money left over from Christmas, right? So in this book, doesn't do much to dissuade you of that because the Easter Bunny, Boss Bunny, has a giant factory with a cat. And the reason he has the cat is because they wanted to rhyme catus catus with apparatus. So that's the only reason there's a cat, which accidentally gets stepped on by brother. So they find Boss Bunny, and he's all asleep. And he is ticked off that they woke him up. And they're like, you got to do Easter, dude. There's no spring without Easter. And he's like, who cares about Easter? I'm sick and tired of it. And he sings a song in the cartoon. Here it's just printed out. He's like, I'm just tired of it. It's undignified. I'm getting old. I'm too old to do Easter. He's like, you have any idea what it takes to make all these jelly beans? And there's paperwork and regulations and there's the egg supply to worry about. And I'm old. He actually says, I got arthritis and bursitis and cyanitis. And I'm old and I'm crabby and I'm bent. I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of the Easter. Like, he gets really angry. And they're like, no, what? No, you're ruining it. You're ruining everything. We need spring. And he's like, ah, who cares about the flowers? And like, but the flowers. He's like, who cares? I'm in pain. I'm an old man. I'm in pain. And he stopped begging me for this. Stop talking about it. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of, like, literally, he's just, this is it. This is the whole, like, this is pages of this. And just minutes of this in the show. He's just yelling at Brother Bear. And his child, like, he seems to have forgotten that Bunny Bill is, like, his kid. Or maybe Bunny Bill was lying about that. I don't know, because this guy's angry these kids showed up in his house. And he's just yelling at them. Like, he's just literally just stomping around yelling. And so here's where you would think, like, here comes the moment in the story where ideally the brother and Bill would be like, all right, we got to figure out a way to change this guy's mind. And then you'd go into, like, the third act of the story. But instead, he opens the door to throw them out, and there's a rainbow. And then he's like, all right, I'll do Easter. And that's it. Like, even in the cartoon, like, he's like, he sees the rainbow, and they're like, that rainbow got through to Boss Bunny. That great spring rainbow's lovely light touched his heart and set things right. It straightened his back, it loosened his joints, it reduced his aches and pains by 10 percentage points. His ears began to wiggle, his whiskers began to twitch. Then Boss Bunny reached around and pulled the master switch. And that's it. Like, it takes that long. Like, there's like, oh, I guess there's not going to be a third act. I guess we're done. Now it's just denouement. And it is just denouement. He suddenly has, like, tons of, like, Oompa Loompa-esque workers. And when I say Oompa Loompa-esque workers, I mean he dresses up like Willy Wonka. He puts on a top hat and everything. He's like, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's make the things. So they set the factory working, and then brother wakes up the next morning. He's like, oh, look. Treats, chocolate eggs and chocolate bunnies and marshmallow chicks. Hooray. And mom was like, wait a minute, brother. I have a special surprise right over here. And he's like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And then it's just the end of the new baby. Like, Sister Bear is now born. She's in the bassinet. And she bops brother on the nose with her fist. And he says, like, for a tiny baby, she has quite a punch. And then he's like, I guess I have a sister now. And that's it. Like, that's the book. And Papa's feeding sister and brother sits on mama's lap. And I guess they don't really... I forgot about this. So in the beginning, they're like, brother had some animals he could play with, but not many. Like, he didn't have any real friends. And that was it. So sister comes along, and he's like, So my issue with this story... So, for one thing, the special is very well done. It's beautifully animated. The voices are great. I just learned today that the voice actor who played Papa Q Bear also played Fred Trump Sr. in Trump Unauthorized, the 2005 TV movie. So if you ever want to see Papa Bear as the nation's Papa Bear. Just watch that. It's on archive.org. In any case, as entertaining as the special is, it tries to do way too much. It tries to talk about Easter. It tries to explain Easter to you. It tries to have like sort of a the night Santa. What is it? The Santa Claus special where he doesn't want to do Christmas anymore. It's just it's that one. It's not Santa Claus Has Come Into Town. It's the Christmas That Almost Wasn't, or one of those. Like any of the Santa Claus specials where Santa swears to never do Christmas again. They try to do that, but they also try to do like Papa Bear wants to take over Easter. Like so, there's that, and then there's like the Easter Bunny's just an angry old coot who's tired of his job. So there's that, and then there's also like the birth of Sister, which has nothing to do like with Easter. Like that's weird. So there's that. Like there's all these plot threads running through, and any one of them could have made a special. Papa trying to take over Easter from the Easter Bunny, or brother and his friends trying to convince the bunny that Easter needs to go on. Any of those are a strong enough plot for a 24-minute special, but instead they tried to cram them all in. And so you end up with this literally like minute and a half falling act, like the Easter, like you don't even get like a climax. You just get the Easter Bunny being like, all right, I'll do it. And then that's it. So that's the Berenstain Bears Easter surprise. It's a good special. And you know what? I like the book too. So the book is done in the more modern Berenstain Bear style. And the animated special definitely looks like the old Berenstain Bear books. So with the slapsticky stuff, it comes across as stiff and awkward. Like I would ideally they would have simply changed some of the plot elements, shortened it a little bit, or maybe fleshed out the ending, just so it wasn't so like a clash of styles. Because it works in the original animation, but in the book, it just comes across as like, what's wrong with Papa? Like this is not the Papa Q Bear we know. All right, and now I want to address the elephant in the room, which is this story flatly contradicts the new baby. So in the new baby, Mom is pregnant, brother doesn't know. He and Papa Bear go to build Sister Bear's new bed, or Brother Bear's new bed, because his bed is going to Sister Bear, but he doesn't know that. And then when they come back, Mama has given birth. I don't know when she gave birth in this story. Over Christmas night? I guess she either did a very quiet job at it, or they snuck out of the house and went somewhere to have the baby, maybe in the woods, because this is pre-Dr. Gert Grizzly. This is when Bear Country is still just isolated in the middle of nowhere. So maybe there's a birthing house. Maybe it's out in Papa's shed. Maybe that's what he was doing. He wasn't inventing a Easter machine. He was inventing a robot midwife. Maybe Robo from the Run Amok Robot. He built an early prototype, and Robo was their robot midwife. I don't know. But this story flatly contradicts the Berenstain Bears' new baby. I mean, nothing in the Berenstain Bears' new baby ever says that it was Easter Eve. It was just a nice day. It was actually a nice sunny day. This is all like wintry and weathery, and I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means. Of course, I don't know where these storybook adaptations of the special stand. So maybe they are in their own continuity. Let's add a new continuity. Maybe I already did this like 2 years ago, but let's make sure that the specials, the TV specials, fall into their own, somewhat related to the ABC TV series specials. Let's just say they're part of the ABC TV series specials. It's all tied together. Slightly different voice casts, but I'll allow it. I'll allow that from the Berenstain Bears Christmas tree all the way through the end of the Saturday morning show is one continuity. So in that continuity, Sister Bear was born on Easter Sunday. Now, of course, it doesn't tell us when her birthday is. It could be anywhere, but from like March to through the end of April. But it does establish that Sister Bear, within the animated continuities, was born on Easter Day, or at least the night before. Now, as far as this book being a good Easter book, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. By the very vagaries of the plot, it's not a good spring book. It all takes place in the snow. It also makes clear that the Easter Bunny controls the weather. So he's even more powerful than old Saint Nick. Like, in order to get... So he has this kind of like... They say like, Easter Bunny, like, Boss Bunny, come wiggle your ears and make spring disappear. Or make winter disappear. And I'm like, so he's kind of this groundhog-esque mythical character who controls the weather Does each community get their own Easter Bunny? Because Boss Bunny just lives in Bear Country. So does each community in the world, like all over the globe, do they just get their own Bear Country, like their own Easter Bunny? Is that a thing? Let's say that in this version of the world, they do. And now for the other elephant in the room. This book firmly acknowledges that once upon a time, Bear Country had clothed animals, but that now they are naked animals. Somewhere along the lines, the rabbits and the frogs and all the other ones stopped being sentient buddies of brother and just started being animals who could kind of understand you, but weren't much fun to talk to. So we've got a lot going on in this book. We've got confirmation of the animal disparity. We've got establishment of a new continuity as far as Sister's birth goes. And we've got a clash of styles. We've got a clash of the old versus the new, of which works better, which is nicer. It's an interesting question, and one that I'm not fully prepared to answer yet. But we've also got the question of, when do they start celebrating Jesus' resurrection in Bear Country? Well, to answer that question, you're going to have to wait till the next episode, because that's one where we're going to be touching on some actual Easter business. But first, before we go, May 24th, Friday, 6 o'clock at Moon Palace Books, 6 p.m., I'll be doing a live show, Deep in Bear Country, One Man's Dive into the World of the Berenstain Bears, dinner and a show. I'll be releasing more information about tickets when they become available. I'm still in talks with the venue to find out how we're going to be doing tickets. But pizza, beer, salads, it's a great place. Moon Palace Books, within Moon Palace Books is a eatery called Geek Love Cafe. Attached to Geek Love Cafe is a performing area. It's an actual performance venue with a stage and tables, and it's dinner and a show. Come see me talk. I'll be up on stage dancing around. I won't be dancing. Complaining about the Berenstain Bears. Hopefully making you laugh. Definitely making you cry. So if you're in the town, if you're anywhere nearby, if you're able to come see it, check me out. May 24th, Deep in Bear Country, Moon Palace Books. Otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at BStainBearCast. You can find me at BStainBearCast.wordpress.com. Follow me on Facebook. And if you're of a mind, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple-wise, and leave me a rating and a review. I'd love to know what you think about the show. So that's it. That's all for this week. I'll see you next time with more Easter funny times, good old Easter times. And I will see you all next week deep in a Bear Country.